Everyone has their own unique views and needs when it comes to financial success. If you'd like to leave your financial woes behind and live a life of financial freedom, you've come to the right place. Welcome to the Saving with Steve Show, hosted by Steve Sexton. The show will help you with the ins and outs of money. We talk about financial issues that could be costing you thousands of dollars and keeping you up at night. We talk about money, tax reduction, saving more, spending less, 401ks, risk management, retirement, and everything under the sun that relates to you having a healthier, happy relationship with money. Now, here is your host of Saving with Steve, Steve Sexton.
Hello, welcome to the Saving with Steve Show, where we talk about the ins and outs of money. Pretty much everything on the sun relates to you having a happier, healthier relationship with money. My name is Steve Sexton. I want to thank you for joining us today. I want to thank you for sharing us with your friends and family. This show wouldn't be possible without you. Hey, we're going to talk about the effects of the tariffs a little bit and a lot about Social Security. Many of you have been asking, hey, what are these changes I'm hearing about to Social Security? So I'm going to go through those a little bit later. But first, we do have a special guest. And this is a really special topic. You know, if you're married, you're with somebody trying to figure out, hey, do I file divorce or do I not? How do I even get the right attorney? What type of questions should I be asking that attorney? How should that attorney behave? You know, do I want to go to court? Do I not want to go to court? Do I settle? Do I go to trial? You know what happens if somebody's hiding money? And you've heard about these, you've seen them on TV. You know what, splitting up, divorce, it's a big change. And the big thing here to understand is most people never, ever have experienced it before. So you're a newbie. This is not the type of thing you want to build skills to, but you understand what I'm saying. You are in for a real treat because we have Renee Bauer. She's a divorce attorney. She's the founder of Happy Ever After Law Firm located in Connecticut. She's the author of award-winning book, She Who Wins, and the founder of co-parenting app called Parents Copilot. She has won numerous awards such as Litigator of the Year, Woman-Owned Business Woman of the Year. Recently, her firm was named one of the best places to work. When she's not lawyering, she's speaking on stage. She writes both fiction and nonfiction books. Renee, welcome to the show. We're grateful you're here.
Thanks for having me, Steve. It's going to be a great, great day and great topic. And I think to your point that you said, hopefully it's not, divorce isn't something that you need to know about. And I just think like you get better each time you do it, speaking from personal experience. So,
well, you know what? I was looking at stats for this, like over 8.5 million people got divorced last year. And you know what? The divorce rates are pretty high, but they even get higher for the second and third divorce. Yeah. I mean, like 60-70%. So, you know what, hey, I've been lucky enough to marry for 26 years and I'm very, very happy with everything. I just like surprised at some of those stats. But you know what, before we get into all this, big thing is this, Renee, everybody gets into business for a certain reason. Why did you become a divorce attorney?
So it was, it's funny because the reason I started is very different than the reason why I continue to do it. And when I first started, I was a lawyer, just thankful to have a job. And I worked for a firm where they did a lot of everything. And I realized I didn't love criminal law. And so they stuck me with all of the divorce cases. And I realized it was an opportunity to really help people go through something emotional. And I was like, hey, I'm kind of good at this of juggling that therapist versus the legal aspect of it. So that's why I started in it. But then I found myself divorced and then twice divorced. And then it became very personal to me because I had gone through the struggle and the hardship and the pain and the shame and all of that of what divorce is. And then at that point, the job changed because it was more of a mission to really help people understand that this is just a plot twist. It's not their whole story. And that there was a real opportunity to help them and see divorce as they took the other road rather than the one that they thought that they belonged on. And While it looks different, they can really still have a life that they absolutely love. And that's where I, on the latter part of my career, I really focused on talking about divorce in a public forum so people can recognize that they don't have to feel shame, that they're not alone, they're going to survive. It's not the worst thing that's happened to them, even though it feels like it in the moment.
So let's kind of talk about that first part. As you know, in what I do, I've come across a number of clients that have, you know, gone through divorce, some earlier, some later in life, some, you know what, kind of grinded out, so to speak, until they just can't handle it anymore because they feel shame of that. So, you know what, what's the big thing that women or even men need to know? Because both sides stay for the wrong reasons. And they, or they don't, you know, they feel like that's what they should do. And if they don't, they, you know, their, you know, their friends group goes away, all that. They're just so worried about everything. You know, what would be, you know, I don't know how to say this, but what would be your thought pattern of, hey, do I stay or do I go? How do I look at that?
You know, it's funny because when someone comes in and talks to me, I can usually tell where they are in the process and whether there's hope or not. And so the minute that there's a glimmer of hope there, the way they communicate is different. And they're gathering information, but I send them to marriage counseling. So you're not there yet. There's still a spark of something. Go back and keep working on it. But then you have that person who comes in and you know that there is no hope. You know that there's resentment. You know that there is maybe even lack of love. There's all the red flags that they talk about. And the reason they're not moving forward is because of all of the reasons you just stated. There could be fear around money, not having enough, being alone, the shame, what family and friends think. And then those are the people that it's really heartbreaking when I see that they don't make that leap. And I actually just had someone retain yesterday. She had come to my office 5 years prior and finally came back, and she was waiting for her kids to get a little bit older. And I think to myself, you just put your life on hold for 5 years because you thought you were doing good for the kids, but really the kids were watching your marriage unravel. They were watching the fighting and the conflict and the chaos, and they were being exposed to that. So I think she did a disservice by not pulling the trigger when she knew that it was over and done back then too. So usually, you know, when it's done, and it's trust that gut and know that just by delaying it, you're delaying the inevitable. And sometimes you just have to pull the Band-Aid off in order to move forward.
You know what? And let's take a kind of a step back there a little bit where, you know what, we talked about marriage counseling. Okay. Nobody likes to have a relationship blow up, even, you know, especially if you have kids and stuff like that. So when you say glimmer of hope, okay, you know, you say, you know, hey, there's somebody who's got resentment, they're resenting their partner because of all of the stuff that's gone on. What, you know, what's the glimmer of hope?
They still like their spouse. They still have, when they talk about them, they talk about them in an affectionate way, in that they still like spending time with them. Sometimes it's a lack of communication that's happening, and they're sort of passing by each other and not actually talking to each other. But they actually really like each other. And so they need the tools to have someone work with them so they can reconnect. And so they're not coming in with all of this anger about what's going on. And it doesn't have to be the level of an affair. Like, that's not always the thing that pushes a marriage over the edge. Like, that's symptomatic of something else that's happening. But usually it's just they feel alone and disconnected in their relationship. And if there's still hope, then when they talk about that, they don't actually want to get divorced. They just want their spouse to hear them. And that's when the marriage counselor can help them listen to each other and learn how to talk to each other again.
Okay, so actually somebody had written in and they were in a situation where he was working a whole lot and had been for a long time. And it was one of those things where he missed an important event because of work. And she flat out asked him, are you having an affair? And he's like, what? No. And, you know, do you want to get divorced? You don't never hear all that kind of stuff. And he just didn't realize. And so let's take a quick break and let's talk about how to go about finding a good lawyer. Folks, stick with us. We're going to be right back with more Renee Bauer.
More expert advice for having a happier relationship with money still to come on the Saving with Steve Show.
Don't let your financial woes keep you up at night and prevent you from living a life of financial and personal freedom. Hi, I'm Steve Sexton, host of the Saving with Steve Show. We're going to be talking about the ins and outs of money, those financial issues that could be costing you thousands of dollars, causing stress, keeping you up at night. We're going to talk about money, tax reductions, saving more, spending less, your investments, risk management, retirement, and everything associated with you having a healthier, happy relationship with money. So if you've ever dreamed of living a life of financial and personal freedom, you owe it to yourself and your family to tune into the Saving with Steve Show. Join me, Steve Sexton, on the Saving with Steve Show as we talk about everything under the sun when it comes to money. To learn more about the show, visit savingwithsteve.us. That's savingwithsteve.us, savingwithsteve.us. We'll see you soon.
Welcome back to the show that is here to help you achieve your financial goals. It's the Saving with Steve Show. Now here's your host, Steve Sexton.
Hey, welcome back to the Saving with Steve Show, where we talk about the ins and outs of money. First of all, I wanted to say, hey, all the replays are available at savingwithsteve.us. If you're enjoying the stories of helpful insight, information on Saving with Steve, I encourage you to subscribe to our YouTube channel. Check out a few of our affiliates at UK Health Radio, BBS Radio, Talk Radio New York City, E360 TV, AMFM 247 Network. All these networks are dedicated to empowering you to uplift your spirit and live a life of personal and financial freedom. So you can also follow us on Facebook at Saving with Steve Sexton. And now we're back to more Renee Bauer. The big question here is, how do you find a good lawyer? I mean, there's tons of divorce lawyers, just like there's tons of personal injury lawyers out there.
Yeah.
How do you find a good one?
What you don't do is just automatically take a referral from somebody and say that their friends, cousins, uncle said, go to this person. And then you automatically just hire that person. It's so, so important to have a consultation with at least two lawyers so you have someone to compare with. And don't shy away from lawyers who charge for consultation fees, because some do and some charge free. And this is a situation where you get what you pay for, because sometimes those free ones, you're going to get 20 minutes of their time. They're not really paying attention to you. And you didn't really walk away feeling any more informed versus a consultation where you're paying for that fee. But maybe you're getting a whole hour with that lawyer and it's really meant to be informative and education. So you can ask around for referrals, but don't rely on that solely. Meet with the lawyer, have a Zoom or at least a face-to-face. Like, I feel like phone calls don't quite give you enough of what you need to connect with someone or not. And go in with questions and ask questions such as, what's your communication style? Are you someone who's a high-level communicator and wants to know that they're going to have emails replied to and phone calls returned to? And Steve, it's the number one complaint we hear from lawyers is, like, people complain, my lawyer never gets back to me. They never communicate with me. This is how we end up with so many clients, is because of we communicate. And so that's asking them straight up front, if I call you, how long will it take for you to call me back? And if they can't answer that, or they're not ready with an answer because because they're not someone who's going to call you back for weeks, not the right person for you. And then go with your gut. Is it someone that you can work with? And you're going to have hard conversations with this person. You're going to have to be really forthcoming and truthful with them. So you need to know that it's someone that you're comfortable with, who's going to listen to you and not just like dismiss you. So have that gut check. Is this someone who I know that I can work with? Look at reviews online, Google reviews. Sometimes you have the outliers of the clients who might never be quite happy. But overall, look at what people are saying about that lawyer. And when you take all of that information together, you'll have a good indication of what lawyer is a right fit for you.
So when you say outliers, we're talking about, somebody's 4.5 stars. But there's always somebody who's going to rate somebody a 1 because their expectations are so way up here
100%.
That they're not even close.
And that's like read it, right? Like read that you can read the client's expectations and who that client was just by what they write, and then you look at all the other ones. And so you don't look at just that one bad review and say that's not the right person for me. Look at the whole as to what are most people saying about this person. And if they don't have any reviews, that might tell you something too, in terms of what type of customer service that they have and they're providing, because people like to leave reviews and they like to leave good reviews and they like to leave bad reviews. But if they don't leave anything or there isn't sort of a presence for you to even find who they are, maybe they're not the right person for you.
You want somebody experienced when it comes to this. When you talk about attorneys, and I'm just going to share a story that I've had here with one client, husband and wife. They were clients for years, and then they decided to get a divorce. And basically, you know what? I'm helping them do stuff, and these two attorneys spent an hour bickering back and forth over stuff, and all we're looking to do is split an asset. So it's not like it's a hard thing. And like we ended that phone call because nothing got done, but all they did was go back and forth for an hour, and it could have took 5 minutes. So I'm like, you know what, when you have an attorney's behavior with stuff like this, how do you know, hey, that's not the right thing? How, you know, does that make sense?
It absolutely makes sense, and it's so important that the you as the client drives what happens in the case to the extent of says to their lawyer, I want you to be focused on trying to resolve this and be a peacemaker rather than stirring up chaos and conflict. And you do have lawyers that have a reputation of just trying to bully or make things harder. And so that's also to your first question, an important question is to ask that lawyer, what's your style? What's your value system in dealing with divorces? Is it to help the families move through it, or is it to create chaos? Sometimes you need a lawyer who's really strong because you might have a spouse who is the bully or has we hear narcissist and all of those terms, but has a really difficult spouse, and you're going to need someone to be a little bit more aggressive, but making sure that your attorney is matching their style with what you're asking for, so you avoid exactly that, because both of those clients got a bill, an hourly rate for what they just argued over and didn't get any closer to a resolution, which is really frustrating for clients.
Folks, I'm just going to say, if you're listening right now, you want to listen to that again and you want to write that down. You definitely want to write that down because I know two people who could have saved a lot of money just by asking those questions up front. So that's very, very cool. Now, what are the options for people just, you know, if they don't want to go to court?
So you have options. It's not just a one size fits all. You can, so litigation is sort of the typical what you see. Things get filed in court, you go through the court process. Most of those cases still settle. It doesn't mean everything's going to trial, but you're just going through all of the regular steps of that the court would guide you. And if you can't reach an agreement, then you have trial. You also have an option to mediate. The mediator is somebody who's completely unbiased. Their job is to facilitate an agreement between the two of you. They don't represent either of you. So you have one person that you're paying to help you reach an agreement. And then you have the collaborative process, which is it's also alternative dispute resolution, meaning that you're keeping it out of court. You're both committing to not going to court, but you both have lawyers advocating for you, but you're doing it in a non-adversarial environment. That time can be a little expensive though, because you're still, while you're keeping it out of court, you still have lawyers who represent you. And then typically you're bringing in another professional, like a financial person or a family relations or counselor to help facilitate and act as that third party neutral. So you're paying for three professionals, but the value of it is you're not letting a judge decide what your future looks like or rolling the dice on that. You're really controlling the process.
So in the collaborative process, you really have an attorney there to ask you the questions you don't think or know to ask. And for that attorney also to ask the financial person, who I'm assuming is putting together the whole financial picture based off certain parameters might be saying, hey, if it gets split up, you're looking at this type of thing. Or, you know, so everybody's asking questions that you don't think are no to ask because you've never been through this. And the same thing if they're dealing with co-parenting, how that would look.
Yeah, exactly. And the difference is everyone in that room has one goal. It's to get you to an agreement and to a settlement. You're committing to keeping things out of court. So you're working towards that. So now no one's coming into that room really adversarial. Their goal is, how do we help you as a family move through this process and reach an agreement with all of these professionals in the room working towards that? So really great process, but not for everyone because it could be costly just because of all the professionals involved.
Okay. And then obviously you've got court. Okay. Yeah. So you're filing just like you would with any trial. Mm-hmm. There's discovery. It's adversarial because you got two attorneys going back and forth. Mm-hmm. Is going to trial also pretty costly, obviously, depending on how long it goes?
Yeah. So what I tell people is that they can anticipate that if for every day of trial will cost them about $10,000. And everyone has different rates. Different parts of the country have different rates, some higher, some lower. But I use that figure because the prep time usually is twice as much as the time in court. If your lawyer is doing a good job and really being a litigator and advocating for you and building your case, then they're going to spend twice as much time preparing for that case. And they're going to know your marriage inside and out and numbers backwards and forward. So if you're looking at a 1 day, 2 day, 3 day, 4 day, on and on, you can see how the cost racks up pretty quickly. And it's a roll of the dice because you don't know what a judge is going to do. You can guess a zone of what's going to happen. You can kind of predict based on all of the conversations and maybe pre-trials that happen leading up to it, what you might see happen. But at the end of the day, you don't know. The judges are humans. They have their own bias. You hope they're not imposing those biases on a decision, but you really just don't know. And sometimes what you're asking for that you think is reasonable actually is not what the judge thinks is fair. And so they're setting themselves up for disappointment if they're going to trial on principle or because they really want this one thing. And the judge from a high level view says, well, this isn't really equitable.
Okay, so let's talk. Hold on one second. We're going to take a break and we're going to talk about going on principle. I think that's a big thing because we got some people asking questions about it. So folks, stick with us. We'll be right back with more Saving with Steve and Renee Bauer.
More expert advice for having a happier relationship with money still to come on the Saving with Steve show.
Don't let your financial woes keep you up at night and prevent you from living a life of financial and personal freedom. Hi, I'm Steve Sexton, host of the Saving with Steve show. We're going to be talking about the ins and outs of money, those financial issues that could be costing you thousands of dollars, causing stress, keeping you up at night. We're going to talk about money, tax reductions, saving more, spending less, your investments, risk management, retirement, and everything associated with you having a healthier, happy relationship with money. So if you've ever dreamed of living a life of financial and personal freedom, you owe it to yourself and your family to tune into the Saving with Steve show. Join me, Steve Sexton, on the Saving with Steve show as we talk about everything under the sun when it comes to money. To learn more about the show, visit savingwithsteve.us. That's savingwithsteve.us, savingwithsteve.us. We'll see you soon.
Welcome back to the show that is here to help you achieve your financial goals. It's the Saving with Steve show. Now here's your host, Steve Sexton.
Hey folks, thanks for tuning in today. We're here on the show. I appreciate you following us. Again, this is the Saving with Steve show. I just want to get right back into it. We were talking about holding on to things because of principle. Yeah. So let's talk about how that is an impediment that might not get you anywhere.
Yeah.
And the reason why I'm saying this is I've probably got 300 emails of people saying, I went through this and I tried to stick to my guns, meaning my principle, and it didn't turn out the way I thought.
Yeah. So even when you said it might not get you what you want, I say it will not get you what you want, because anytime someone's arguing on principle, they think they're going to court and they think the judge is going to take their side, because only if the judge hears my story, then will the judge decide that I'm the right one here, or decide that my ex is really an awful person, or that I've been wronged, or I'm the victim. And the judges don't do that. The court system is not designed to do that. It is not punitive. The judge looks at things in a very businesslike way and says, how do we slice and dice all of these assets and to divide it in a way that's fair? And principle is never fair. Principle is someone saying, they're carrying a flag saying, this is what how I think my spouse should pay because of what they've done, or because of their behavior, or they cheated, or whatever it is. And so whenever someone says to me, I'm going to court on principle, I said, well, you're just, the only thing you're going to do is put some money in my pocket, because I guarantee you, you will not be happy with the result.
Yeah. Did you hear that, everybody? I've got somebody, a male actually, he says, he goes, best thing could ever happen. And he actually said, my wife was a witch, and this is the best thing ever happened, because she thought if she had this story that she would win, and it worked out really, really well for me. All I did was sit and be quiet.
Yep.
So
sometimes that's all you have to do.
That's something else. Okay, big question. A lot of people asked. In fact, I had one situation where one of the clients could not take the required minimum distribution because the spouse was hoarding all the information, so they and wouldn't provide it to the other side. So they didn't know how much she had, and she had no clue about what she had in the beginning, and she couldn't take a required minimum distribution. And the judge actually signed a letter saying she couldn't take a required minimum distribution because she didn't have any of the information. So she got off on the penalties. But the big question is, what if people hide money?
Yeah. So there's lots of things you can do. And it becomes, it depends on how they're hiding money. So if you have a W-2 wage earner, it's a lot easier to follow the paper trail. We know the money comes in, it goes out. It becomes much more difficult to hide money. If you have a business, it becomes a lot easier to hide money. And it's common that people sometimes unintentionally hide money because of how they're paying bills through their business. And they just think it's not income to them. But if they're intentionally hiding money, the lawyers can get professionals involved. Forensic accountants can get involved to try to uncover that. What we're seeing now is people hiding money in digital assets. Crypto is a big deal right now. Mm-hmm. And a lot of lawyers don't know what to ask for, what to look for, or even how to look for it. And so people are hiding sometimes millions of dollars in digital assets, cold and hard wallets. And the other side is none to the wiser because the lawyers don't know to ask the question. And in discovery, for example, in my state in Connecticut, we have standard discovery questions. Guess what? It doesn't include crypto. So we have to actually go the extra step and add that information in. We're always looking for it. But if a lawyer isn't informed or doesn't know enough to know what they don't know to say, hey, let me ask the question or get someone involved who can, people can hide money that way. And it becomes really, really difficult to uncover. So people are hiding assets. You can go to court. You can get orders. The court can assign penalties, attorney's fees for it. So you just have to make sure your attorney's going after that info and being relentless until your spouse provides it.
Okay. So you talked a little bit earlier, because I've had a few questions, so I just want to help you clarify it for everybody else. Spouse owns a business. Many of the family expenses are run through the business. Yeah. They do it for tax purposes, many other mm-hmm. reasons. Okay. So they're unintentionally doing it, but they're also hiding assets. So how should people look at that? How should that be discovery? I mean, you can't be looking at somebody throwing their finger at it, but it's just because that's what they've done for years.
Right. And so it all depends what their intent is behind it, because sometimes you have a small business and it becomes really easy just for the lawyer to go through and say, okay, cell phone bills are getting filtered through that, and car insurance, and looking at the Costco run that actually is food for the house. Like, we can easily piece that together. Sometimes it's really, really difficult depending on the complexity of the business and the size. And that's when you're going to bring in professionals to create those charts for us in order to track the money and then order to assess some sort of earning capacity or what we think that person's earnings actually are once we add all of those expenses back in. Because even though the IRS says you can deduct them for purposes of coming up with alimony, child support, we need to add that back in so we can run those numbers.
So what you're really looking for is like a forensic accountant to do a balance sheet and a true rendering of what's profit, loss, income, all that kind of stuff.
Right.
And also the true value of a business, which would be important if you're getting a divorce.
And that's one of those things. Sometimes there's a value that we know we have to dive in and really figure out what that is. And sometimes it's not. Sometimes it's a one-man shop who is the landscaper and he does all of the work himself. The business probably doesn't have a lot of value versus the landscaping company that has 50 employees and has been around for 30 years. Two different same business, two totally different situations. So it's so case specific as to what you need, which is really important why you don't listen to friends and family as to what they did. Doesn't necessarily apply to your situation.
Oh, I totally agree that. We hear that all the time. My neighbor, they don't know if they've lost money, gained money or whatever, right, or if theirs was simple as can be or crazy. Or they're crazy. So you never know. So don't listen to them. I'll just say that.
Right.
Next question. For example, you have somebody with international assets. So they might have a house in, one that's going through divorce right now that has a house in London, England. And another one has one in Paris and a few other places or even in Canada. So how are those looked at as a divorce asset?
So they're still assets. We just did one that we had to have a house in Mexico appraised, and we had to get an appraiser down there. So this is why it's so important for anyone to gather as much information as they can prior to filing or is when the divorce is going on, because the more information you can provide your lawyer, the more helpful it is in order to uncover all of these assets. But most people know about these international assets. They know there's a house or a flat and somewhere else, but they're still assets. It's still part of the marital landscape. Now, the courts can't actually do something. The courts can't distribute that asset, but they can take the value of that and put it into what the marital estate looks like and distribute other things that they actually have jurisdiction to distribute.
I see. Okay. So that's really important to know. So one of the things that I want to start talking about is, you know what, everybody's worried about this process because it's just kind of an unknown to them. For you, every single day, you know what, I know how Social Security works. I know the ups and downs, backwards and forwards. So it's real easy for me, but most people have no clue. So for example, they find an attorney that they can communicate well with, they like and trust, or the right person from an attitude, the whole shot. What happens next?
So they hire their lawyer. They make sure to take control over the process in the sense of if they have questions, they ask them. And the lawyer might say, well, my paralegal's here to help you answer questions about process. But making sure you're asking questions and you don't just blindly follow what your lawyer says. You really, really are responsible for understanding, because if you sign that agreement, you want to be sure you signed it because you know what you're signing and not just because someone told you to sign that. Because there are lawyers out there who are going to just get sick of a case. Maybe the money's run out and they're going to want to just be done with it. And they say, sign it, here you go, so they can push it along. So you really have to take some ownership over that process. Also find a community of people who are going through divorce and create a support system around you. And that doesn't mean run to friends and family and bash your spouse. I'm talking about a community of maybe someone else who you didn't even know before, who is going through the divorce process, and you can support each other. Don't use it as a crux to play victim or continue to bash so you're not moving forward, but using it really as a support system to lift each other up. So there's a great platform out there called My Next Chapter that does that, and it brings professionals into their platform and it brings other people into the platform in connecting them in a really uplifting way. And that's someone that you, a resource you can use so that at some point your friends are not going to want to hear all about your divorce and they're not the therapist. So like, go to a healthy place in order just to have that support. Cause if that, you know what, that first holiday where you don't have your kid, I'm telling you, it's going to be hard. And you're going to want to talk to someone who's gone through it and has experienced that and knows how hard it is. And for them to then say, listen, I know this one's hard, but I promise you the next one gets easier. Like, those are the type of people that you want in your circle when you're going through what might feel like one of the hardest times in your life. And quite frankly, it is. It's up there in terms of, you know, not rating the death. And like, I think divorce is 2 or 3 in that. And that one of the most stressful events. So you don't have to do it alone.
Oh, yeah. Now, hey, folks, stick with us. We'll be right back with more Renee Bauer. We're talking about the divorce process.
More expert advice for having a happier relationship with money still to come on the Saving with Steve Show.
Don't let your financial woes keep you up at night and prevent you from living a life of financial and personal freedom. Hi, I'm Steve Sexton, host of the Saving with Steve Show. We're going to be talking about the ins and outs of money, those financial issues that could be costing you thousands of dollars, causing stress, keeping you up at night. We're going to talk about money, tax reductions, saving more, spending less, your investments, risk management, retirement, and everything associated with you having a healthier, happy relationship with money. So if you've ever dreamed of living a life of financial and personal freedom, you owe it to yourself and your family to tune into the Saving with Steve Show. Join me, Steve Sexton, on the Saving with Steve Show as we talk about everything under the sun when it comes to money. To learn more about the show, visit savingwithsteve.us. That's savingwithsteve.us, savingwithsteve.us. We'll see you soon.
Welcome back to the show that is here to help you achieve your financial goals. It's the Saving with Steve Show. Now here's your host, Steve Sexton.
Hey, welcome back to the Saving with Steve Show, again, where we talk about the ins and outs of money. You know what? I would love it if you check out our affiliates at UK Health Radio, BBS Radio, Talk Radio New York City, E360 TV, Las Vegas TV Networks. They're all dedicated to empowering you to solve problems, uplift your spirit, live a life of personal financial freedom. And you can always go to the Facebook page at Saving with Steve Sexton. You know, insider gifts. You can hear see all the behind the scenes stuff of people messing up just like me. But let's get back to talking to Renee. We're talking about the whole process here and like what happens. We just finished talking about getting a fellowship group, so to speak, a group. And what was the name of the group, Renee?
My Next Chapter.
Hey, My Next Chapter. Is it like mynextchapter.com?
My Next Chapter, I believe it's .com is their website. But you just Google that, they'll pop up.
Okay, perfect. Yeah. If you're thinking about that or considering this, great place to start. Have some of that mental help there for you. And so once somebody gets involved with that, what would be the next?
Yeah. So the filing of the paperwork, gathering the financial information, having a goal setting session with your lawyer so you can be really clear on what you want to get out of this. And I always tell, don't let your lawyer define your goals for you. You tell them what your goals are and then let them work towards those. And recognizing that there's a hierarchy of goals, you might be able to accomplish 1, 2, and 3, but you're not going to get the 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10. So really being clear of this is the most important thing and then everything else is negotiable. And then the negotiation starts. And the length of a divorce depends on how much conflict and chaos there is. So some divorces can go can be done in 1 to 3 months. Some take up to a year if you need court intervention and you need trial dates.
Okay, so I want to step back when it comes to information. Mm-hmm. Many people, they're housewives, they've raised the kids, they never paid attention to the finances. How are they going to get the financial documents? All they usually have is a checking account, a debit card, and some credit cards. So how do they go about getting that stuff?
Yeah, so their lawyer's going to gather it for them. It's required that both parties are going to exchange that information. So if they're the one that's not in the know, they're going to ask their lawyer to see everything that comes in. And that's really important. They should be asking that. Don't just assume that your lawyer's going through everything with a fine-tooth comb because that you may see things that jump out to you that you can point to your lawyer to it and say, look at this charge means that they were somewhere where they weren't supposed to be, or they were spending money in ways that I didn't know that they were spending money. So take the ownership of asking to see all of those documents and actually look at them.
Okay. So in other words, what you're saying, if somebody's tried to move assets off before any type of proceedings, it's important to take a look and see, because you could be entitled to some of those, or they could adjust the settlement that you actually get.
Yeah, and I, like when I get documents, so like bank statements, I'm always looking for high level stuff. I'm looking for big numbers moving, coming in, coming out. But sometimes a client will reach out to me and say, "Hey, I just noticed that my spouse spent $600 on concert tickets." Well, guess what? I never went to any concert with them, and I don't know what this is. And then we start to look a little deeper, and we see charges that all have nothing to do with the spouse or the marriage. And then we found out the person was having an affair, and now they're using marital assets to pay for this other person, which can impact the result of the divorce. So it's those little things that you might, as a client, see that means something to you that your lawyer may look at and doesn't mean anything to them.
Okay, so the devil's in the details.
Yes,
So,
absolutely.
okay. All right. So now we know where all the stuff is. You're going to trial. Basically, you know what happens during trial?
Yeah, so you're going to put on, your lawyer is going to put on a case. And the best way I tell every client this, if you think about your life as a piece of paper, by the time you get to court, the judge is going to, you fold that piece of paper 20 different times, and what's left is a little square that you're holding. That's how much information the judge is going to hear. So your lawyer is going to put on a case, share evidence in order to prove the theory of what that case is. Evidence could be financial documents showing spending, showing income, showing assets, talking about the reason for the breakdown of the marriage. So you're going to bring the emotion into it and bring fault into it, which the judge most likely will not put any sort of weight on. And your spouse is going to do the same thing. And after the two of you sling mud at each other, then the judge is going to come up with the solution that they think is fair to both sides.
Okay, so as you said at the very beginning, this is a business transaction, correct? So it's
Yes.
about settling the sale of your whole life. And so the emotion doesn't really play into it, except for the way somebody might be dealing with a child for is that right?
Well, yes and no. So the judge isn't going, most likely the judge is not going to make financial decisions based on why the marriage broke down or who was more at fault, most times. However, when you're at trial, both parties are still going to tell the story of their marriage. They're going to share how they met, what happened, how did it unravel, because you're giving some context as to who these people are, what their family looks like, what the dynamic was. So it's information the judge wants, but it's going to impact very little as to ultimately what the judge does. Now, there's always extremes to every situation. Sometimes you have something going on in the marriage that's so egregious that the court will assess fault to one person, and say that because of this person's behavior, the other spouse was wronged, and was hurt financially, and might make orders accordingly.
So, in other words, if somebody's having multiple affairs and stuff like that and using marital assets to pay for it, there could be a settlement because of that, or the settlement could be balanced on one side more than the other because of that.
Right. So I just had a trial not too long ago, and we just got the result. Well, the wife got the house because of the husband's behavior of hiding money. And she got the house, she got all the equity in the house because they found that he was taking large amounts of cash and hiding them in the form of cashier's checks, thinking that they wouldn't be found, and they were found. And so the judge decided not to give him any of the equity in the house because of that. So in that case, there was wrongdoing that happened, and the judge ordered it accordingly, when in any other situation, the equity in the house would be divided equally. So you do have situations like that happen.
I see. I see. Because a lot of times you only hear about that in TV.
Right. It happens in real life.
Oh no, I believe you. I was just like, because that's a few people asked. I just had to know. So let's you talked a typical divorce. So let's start. We start with like mediation. Mediation. How long could mediation take?
Mediation goes as fast as the two people want to go, or as slow as they're taking. So we can bang out a mediation in one or two sessions. And if they're on top of getting their financial information together, we get them scheduled quickly. It can happen really, really fast. Or sometimes people will drag mediation out for months and months and months, just because it has nothing to do with the mediator. It's because they're not getting their information. They're slow on scheduling sessions. So you really have control of how fast or how slow that process goes.
So if you just want to move on and it's amicable and everything's getting split down the middle, mediation's the perfect thing, and you might be done in a few hours plus some filings.
Yeah.
Renee runs and is the founder of Happy Ever After Family Law. If people need your help, how do they go about getting hold of you, Renee?
Yeah, so the best way is on my website. It's familylawyerct.com. And on there, I have a free workbook that it's like an 80-page workbook to help someone start to think about the divorce process that talks about finances and custody and how to get prepared. It says it's for Connecticut, but it really is for any state. It's just a general like what to do before you take that first leap. So familylawyerct.com.
Folks, if you're considering this or thinking about it or it's in the back of your mind, I would highly recommend getting the book. Getting prepared is one of the biggest things you can do if you're going to make a big life change. So please get that. Renee, thank you so much for being here today. And would you mind just sharing that if you're looking for a fellowship group, what's that name of that group again?
Yeah, it's My Next Chapter. And they're on Instagram and they have a website as well. It's a fabulous resource of professionals, financial expert, legal expert, therapist in there, in a community, in a really positive, uplifting way for people going through divorce.
Renee, thank you so much for being here. Your insights and information are going to be something special for our listeners. So I want to thank you for being here. I hope people reach out to you and utilize your help. And with that, I hope you have a wonderful summer.
Thank you so much. Thanks, Steve.
Folks, stick with us. We'll be right back with more Saving with Steve.
More expert advice for having a happier relationship with money still to come on the Saving with Steve show.
Don't let your financial woes keep you up at night and prevent you from living a life of financial and personal freedom. Hi, I'm Steve Sexton, host of the Saving with Steve show. We're going to be talking about the ins and outs of money, those financial issues that could be costing you thousands of dollars, causing stress, keeping you up at night. We're going to talk about money, tax reductions, saving more, spending less, your investments, risk management, retirement, and everything associated with you having a healthier, happy relationship with money. So if you've ever dreamed of living a life of financial and personal freedom, you owe it to yourself and your family to tune into the Saving with Steve show. Join me, Steve Sexton, on the Saving with Steve show as we talk about everything under the sun when it comes to money. To learn more about the show, visit savingwithsteve.us. That's savingwithsteve.us, savingwithsteve.us. We'll see you soon.
Welcome back to the show that is here to help you achieve your financial goals. It's the Saving with Steve show. Now here's your host, Steve Sexton.
Hey, welcome back to the Saving with Steve show, where we talk about ins and outs of money, pretty much everything in the sun that leads to you having a happier, healthy relationship with money. Renee was wonderful. We're glad she's here. She answered many of your questions. Again, if you're going through all that, I would check out the book. I would connect with Renee if you need that help. So please, please, please. So that was just wonderful. There's, you know what, you might even want to go and listen to the recording a few times. So with that, let's talk about our final segment. Many people have reached out to us and said, hey, what's happening with Social Security? You're hearing about Dodge. You're hearing about all sorts of stuff. People are trying to scare you. Okay. But here's the big thing. Social Security and the Supplemental Social Security Income, which is SSI, are seeing a 2.5% increase in benefits starting in January of 2025. So we found that out in September. Your Social Security went up by 2.5%. Okay. Now, the cost of living adjustment reflects 72.5 million Americans. So that 72.5 million Americans are receiving it. Additionally, the Social Security Administration is implementing some changes to improve agency operation and strength protection. If you go to the website, I actually have all those listed by links. So if you want to read those, you can. But here they are. Besides the benefit increase for Social Security for SSI recipients, the average Social Security benefit is expected to increase by about $50 per month, okay? Earnings limit, okay? The maximum amount of earnings subject to Social Security tax will increase to $176,000. I mean, just a few years ago, it was at $140,000, and they've increased it to $176,000. So that means if you make $176,000 and you're employed by somebody else, 7% of your wages go to Social Security. If you're self-employed, 14% of your wages go to Social Security because your employer pays 7, you pay 7. But if you are self-employed, you're going to pay 14%. Ongoing changes and adjustments. Social Security Administration is working on various changes, including adjustments to the Treasury Offset Program, okay, and is streamlining its online service. Now, what are the Treasury Offset Program? So If you have a pension, okay, and you never paid into Social Security, this won't mean anything to you. But if you paid a minimum of 10 years into Social Security, you used to have your Social Security diminished because you have a pension. And it's usually teachers and firefighters and policemen and stuff like that that have that. But now, because the previous administration, they signed into fact that people would start receiving that offset would be eliminated. And you really, if you're paying into Social Security for more than 10 years, I highly recommend you go to Social Security and see what available benefits that you have, okay? Very, 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 very important, okay? Because the last thing you want to do is miss out on money. Nobody wants to adjust their lifestyle. So it's important to really think about this because, you know what, making an intelligent adjustment to your strategy might cost nothing and could make your retirement significantly better. So folks, I do want to thank you for joining us today. All the information, Bauer was wonderful. All the information, all the replays are available at savingwithsteve.us. If you're enjoying the stories of helpful information and insight, I encourage you to subscribe to our YouTube channel. Never miss a show. Check out a few of our affiliates at UK Health Radio, BBS Radio, Talk Radio in New York City, E360 TV, Las Vegas TV Network. All these networks are dedicated to empowering you to solve problems, uplift your spirit, and live a life of personal financial freedom. Again, I want to thank you for joining us today. We'll look forward to seeing you next time on the Saving with Steve Show.
Thank you for joining us for the Saving with Steve Show, hosted by Steve Sexton. To learn more about the show and how to become a guest or sponsor, visit savingwithsteve.us. That's savingwithsteve.us. Join us again next time as we continue to talk about everything under the sun that relates to you having a healthier, happier relationship with money. This has been the Saving with Steve Show, hosted by Steve Sexton.